Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 71. Tom, top of the morning, noon and night to you.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye. How art thou?
Grand.
Brilliant. We've got a lot of spoilery stuff to talk about today.
There is.
We're talking about The Walking Dead. That will all be behind the spoiler section. But
we'll post that later.
Yeah, but there's a lot in it. So if you haven't watched and you plan to, please don't listen.
No,
because you'd be cranky. You can listen up to it, but don't. Yeah, exactly. You'll be cranky with yourself because you'll give everything away. News stories. We've got a quiz that is based off a news story and stuff that we've watched.
That's very meta.
Yeah, but it's usually where my brain goes because I sit there going, what shall I quiz about? What shall I quiz about? And then I get inspiration. I feel like you should be the first newsman.
Okay, so they announced that Terminator 6 will be coming out November 1st.
That's soon. I mean, in the scheme of things.
In the scheme of things, yeah. And it's subtitled Dark Fate.
Now, this is the return of Linda Hamilton.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the gang, well, no, only really her and Arnie are back.
Yeah, there won't be an Edward Furlong.
I don't think so.
Haven't heard anything. I feel like we would have. If that was going to happen, so November.
We haven't seen a trailer or anything. There's that poster of women walking, and it comes out the same day as the Charlie's Angels reboot.
Oh, my gosh, I'd completely forgotten that was a thing as well.
Yeah, I think Kirsten Stewart is one of them.
What do you bet Demi Moore kept, like, sending messages to the production company, just going, look, if you need me.
I'm available.
Yeah, because I did a really good job on the second one.
Yeah, I can step in.
Yeah, just let me know.
Crispin Glover, he'd be busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he was the best part of that first one, I reckon.
I enjoyed those movies.
Sam Rockwell, was that the second one?
Where
is the sleazy guy that gets in with, I want to say, Drew Barrymore before revealing himself the maniacal... No, actually, you're right, it'd be the first one because Thin Man was his... Odd job.
Yeah.
2001. I think we're going back.
It's a long way because if you remember, it was Destiny's Child that did the song for it.
You're right.
And they have not been Destiny's Child for a long time.
No, man, that's some girl power.
It really was girl power.
What's the equivalent for this? They're going to bust out some Little Mix or get Cardi B teaming up with maybe Cardi B and Nicki Minaj can bury their beef for the ultimate
number one hit.
Okay, maybe we can get a new version of Lady Marmalade.
Yes.
But who would we be putting it on? Like who from today? I think Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, if they could bury the
Ariana
beef.
Grande.
Grande, she'd be doing the Christina Aguilera parts.
Oh, yeah, that'd be her. And she's so good at impersonating, she will make it sound like it is Christina Aguilera. Pink, who would do the Pink bit?
Do they go weird and get Lord or Taylor Swift?
I was going to say Taylor. They'd be going pretty hard at trying to get Taylor. Not that she's the Pink equivalent, but she's a huge name.
Yeah. That could be fun.
Could always just ask Pink again.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have the same surprise factor because she'd have to literally sing the same beat.
Yeah.
She stole that song from Christina Aguilera.
Hell yeah.
Before Christina Aguilera's part even appeared. You were like, oh, Pink's great in this.
And Missy, and is the other one Maya?
Yeah, Maya. I always want to say Rudolph, but it's not.
And it's not Maya Angelou either.
No.
Definitely not.
That's a good point. No, definitely not. Okay, so we've got a lot we have to watch in November then.
It'll be busy.
Gosh.
Yep, strap in.
How are we going to survive? Well, speaking of things from years and years ago, 90s music fans can rejoice. Now, we know that we've got Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill musical coming, and I wanted to check when, because I feel like I've known it's been happening for a while, and it is not on Broadway, though.
Oh, that's
ironic.
It is
Massachusetts, but it's on its way. But
it's in Massachusetts.
She's also got a baby friend growing in her stomach.
That's the most off-Broadway thing I've ever heard. Massachusetts.
Yes. Poor.
And she's having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
I can't think of an Alanis line that would I can't think of an Alanis song that references
every
that.
Every interview she does between then and now, every person is going to ask, so what's the bigger project?
And she's going to do that smart. Because she's Canadian, so she's very polite.
Yeah, sure.
She'll do that.
Well, you know, going into this, I thought it would be the play, but the closer we get to me being a mother, the more I feel my...
She'd say something about spirituality, mother nature, tipping the hat to macro, or so, it's something ridiculous.
What's motherhood like? Well, it's a traffic jam. You're already late.
Yes. So good. Mm. But TLC are going to work on a musical, as in the, well, they used to be three, but not three. So Chili and T-Boz, is that the other one's name?
Yes.
Chili was the one that used to go out with Usher.
Yeah.
I think. And then T-Boz with the hair. So they're planning to take their story to Broadway. Chili says that the show is going to have some new songs, but people don't like to hear new songs, so I assume that that's just toilet breaks.
Sure.
She said that there's way more to their story that was not told in a VH1 special. I don't remember that, but okay. I would think if you're a fan of TLC and you're going to watch this musical, you probably are going to need to take along some tissues, because when it gets to Lisa Left Eye Lopez part, like, that's going to be a bit of a tearjerker.
Sure.
People love the 90s again.
That's TLC, that's an odd one.
No Scrubs.
Waterfalls.
Waterfalls. And there was another one, I can't think of it.
Other Friends.
Was there a song about So I'm Pretty? Was that them?
Damn, I'm pretty. So I'm pretty.
I think that was them. That was a deep reference.
Well done.
Wow.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I can't remember if we touched on it last week, but Bill and Ted is 3 is definitely happening in summer. That's our winter 2020.
Yep.
So that means they've got to start filming that pretty soon.
They look like they were ready.
Yeah. As ready as they could be today. I like that... They just, like, I don't know if that's going to be their look for the film or not, but they just look like 50-year-old guys now.
They're just blokes.
They're just dudes.
Do you reckon they've always stayed in contact?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Apparently they're very close.
Oh, good. I like that. It's nice when mates on screen are mates in real life as
well. Yeah, well, they came up together, you know?
Yeah.
And then that was both, until Matrix came along for both of them, that was their most iconic role.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Because you can't tell me what the name of... The agent he plays, or not, I don't know if he was an agent or the policeman he plays in Speed.
No, I 100% cannot tell you. That was just the movie that Sandra Bullock appeared in.
Sure, I only know, like, in that he's hot, for all I know, his name Hotshot, because that's what Dennis says to him. Pop quiz Hotshot.
What's his last name? Quaid? No. Which Hopper?
It was Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
AKA King Koopa in Mario Brothers.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, I did.
Getting super sidetracked.
Sorry
about that.
Bill and Ted, it'll do it to everyone. You know what I think that movie's going to be?
Excellent.
You can insert your own catchphrase there, but I did the guitar.
Yeah, he did the guitar and he did it really well. Look, we also saw that Apple unveiled their Apple TV Plus. I'm not quite sure what they're calling it, but they had a lot of famous people talking about it. Hyping it up. Probably the thing that I walked away with was knowing that Oprah's got a couple of documentaries, and that I don't think it's part of Apple TV. I think it might be part of Apple itself, maybe an app or something, but there was talk about her book club becoming something that you can do on your phone or whatnot.
I liked how they were talking about how they're doing revolutionary content and stuff, and really all they're doing is hiring great people who've been doing that stuff elsewhere and getting them to do it for them.
That's right. And they've got Apple Channels now, which are just other channels.
Mm.
HBO, I think CBS. There are a whole heap of them. Showtime, I'm pretty sure.
Look, there's a potential for us here in Australia to get a lot out of this if we can sign up for this and get the channels that aren't shown down here.
That's true.
So potentially there's some ways of not needing a VPN anymore, which is cool and a great way to open things up further.
Mm.
And they promise no ads.
I like that.
So I'd be very interested to see what the subscription model is. It'll be interesting to see the regularity of original content, because there's no way around it. They're playing catch up to Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix is miles ahead, and for them to beat Netflix, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, not short term at least.
No, it could be a real long thing. But you know, you think we've got Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, all these new ones launching.
Mm.
Let's see how they're all going in a couple of years.
Another thing, I'm slightly sidetracking, but I mean it was still in the news over the last week, was the announcement of Google Stadia, which will be, it's like Netflix but streaming games.
Yes, so it's a game console, as if you have an Xbox and stuff, but you don't purchase any games to have at home.
No, so it's all... I don't even think you digitally download them, do you?
No, so you don't download...
It's all on their servers.
Yeah, which is a really cool idea if you live in America and have great internet.
Absolutely, which is what a lot of people are talking about. And even in places in America, it's pointless.
Yep.
You know, but there's talk... There has been talk over the past few months that Microsoft Xbox will be doing something very similar as well, but they'll still have their console. And that is what they will be talking about at E3. Now, interestingly, there is no PlayStation at E3 this year, which will be in June. So they're, I think, going super quiet to let these guys unveil their stuff and then shoot out later and go, well, this is what we've got, and I suspect it's going to be similar. Because it just seems to me that's where it's going.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of rumours that PS5 may be along by the end of the year.
Really?
And that might be why they sit out E3, is so that they can make a bigger splash later. Because
makes sense.
Don't make your news part of the news. Make your news the news.
Yeah, absolutely. So exciting times
we're hearing that.
For everything.
Switch might be having two new versions out by the end of the year.
Now that's interesting, because I know a lot of people have been talking about how they love their Switch, but they'd like it to be a little bit more powerful.
Yeah, so I'm the same boat. I love my Switch. I don't take it out too much, but I don't play it on TV all that much either. I'm normally playing in handheld console mode and that sort of stuff. The two versions they're saying, there's one that would be like an Xbox X, like, so it's the beefed up, more powerful version.
Nice.
And then one that's a slightly scaled back, smaller version to make it more like the 3DS for people that are just focused on handheld.
Yep, which makes sense. That kind of thing would be great, because 3DS, that was such a wonderful pocket in the market for Nintendo. That was the people who were commuting.
Well, that thing lived in my back pocket for years. It just slipped. It's so small, fit in there, and anywhere I went, bam, out, have a game.
So many games too for it. Are they still making games for it? I think they are.
They are, much more sporadically. Mobile did a real number on them.
Right.
Once people could start playing
more
and more detailed games and this sort of stuff. There'd been less people playing handheld games because you're carrying two devices. But as long as you've got the games to warrant it, you know.
Yeah.
I played Zelda on the bus.
And that Zelda was a huge game.
It was really good.
Yeah. I haven't played it, but I've seen it and it looked amazing. I know I would. It was open world. Low.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, this was one that I thought was interesting. Ryan Murphy is busy casting famous people for his first Netflix original series.
Sure.
So this week they announced that Bette Midler and Judith Light, a.k.a. the mother and Tony Danza's love interest in Who's the Boss. So that's Judith Light. She's done other stuff since. But they're both joining Jessica Lange and Gwyneth Paltrow in a show called The Politician. Sounds like a dark comedy.
Sorry.
I know, it's a lot of old...
lumped together a lot of cake that I don't want to eat.
I thought you were going to say a lot of names that you haven't heard for a while.
Nah.
But yeah, it's supposed to be a dark comedy and it's going to come out on the 27th of September. So
cool.
Look, that's there. Anything else that you saw?
I got a couple of things. So one renewal, one ending. Runaways has been renewed for season 3, which
nice.
Is cool. Chuckling nicely. On the flip side of that, Supernatural, the show that won't die, is ending this season 15.
It's pretty, that's huge news.
Yeah, because it just, they like for the last 7 years, every year is wrapped up to them thinking it's over and then they get brought back again.
It's crazy.
They must be paying those guys a lot of money.
Oh, you would think so after this many years.
Yeah, with that many contract negotiations and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, they're wrapping it up on their terms. Good on them.
Which is great, because that means the fans get the ending that they want.
Yeah.
Or that they should, you know, that they deserve.
Yeah.
A nice
Which
one.
Is kind of what they've tried to do each year anyway. Well, so I don't
the
know.
The show that keeps ending.
That's what I don't know how they escalate further from what some of the... Like they both separately died. had to go and retrieve each other from hell, and it's a whole thing.
A whole thing. This is something that I thought you'd be interested in.
Mm.
People have been wanting a crossover between Hawaii Five-O, Magnum P.I. and MacGyver, all the remakes, I should say. And now the co-creator of the three said it might just happen. They were talking about logistics and how it's down to logistics because Hawaii Five-O and Magnum P.I. are shot in Hawaii, obviously, but MacGyver's filmed in Atlanta.
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure there are things called aeroplanes and MacGyver could get on it and go to Hawaii.
He could clip himself to the bottom of a helicopter.
With a bit of...
Which is one of the main things on Magnum.
It is.
His best mate runs a helicopter company. There's so many ways to tie them together. Look, it'd be fun to have MacGyver in there. I'm not as fussed on MacGyver, but... It makes a lot of sense for Magnum and Hawaii Five-O to cross over. They have minor characters that seem to cross over between the two, unless I'm like misremembering things.
Yeah, but right.
There are definitely people that I've seen between both shows.
Yeah, right. And so
they're both in Hawaii. They're both set in Hawaii.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Stop being annoying. Just get to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my news stuff done. I know you've done a few trailer watching.
Yes. Look,
sessions?
Two last news stories, then some trailer stuff.
Okay.
News story, Us. Jordan Peele's new movie, it opened to more than $70 million, which makes it the best opening for an original property since Avatar.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
People have been so hyped for this movie, like for ages. The whole lead up to it being, not to it being made, but once it was getting made, there was, and you started to hear about it, people are like, I can't wait.
And they've done so well of hiding things. So I've purposely not read any reviews. I've stayed away from everything because I want to go and see it probably this weekend. I don't want to get spoiled.
You're going to get scared.
We'll see.
But am I right? I think I read somewhere the actual budget for making the movie was not that big.
No.
I want to say 20 million, like very small. And to rush out and get 70.
It's pretty awesome.
It's phenomenal.
Well, it's from Blumhouse. So that guy, Jason Blum, just has such a track record of taking tiny things and making them big. Like, he's probably the best for, you know, return on the dollar producer out there at the moment. He puts in that and gets a whole chunk back every time.
That's skill and talent.
Yeah.
Skill and talent. Good on.
So that's awesome. And there's a lot of talk going on about how long Avengers Endgame is actually going to be. Because they've been saying for a while now, heads up, it's going to be pretty long.
Mm.
But there was someone listed it, I think it was AMC, because you can start pre-ordering tickets, had a listing time of 182 minutes, which is 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Okay. How long, do we know how long the others have been? They're
generally
usually
2.5 to 2 hours 40. I can't remember a film
I don't
that
remember
cracked
a super
3 hours.
Long one.
Maybe not even Avatar.
Geez, I'm going back here, but Titanic.
Titanic, I think, comes close, but it was a big deal, the fact that it got up so high.
Yeah.
So it's that, and then Dark Knight Rises is like 2.75 hours or something.
Is it really?
It's pretty long.
I don't remember it being super long.
How many times did you watch it?
Only once.
That's why.
Okay.
It gets pretty long. Yeah, that's crazy, but as you look at it on the flip, this is a combination, like this is film number 22 in a 10-year saga.
There's a lot of characters.
Yeah, if they want to wrap everything up and move on to a new thing, then maybe this needs to be given the Lord of the Rings 3 treatment of the half-hour waving goodbye to each other on rowboats.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I'm going to get the director's cut. Okay, that's another 4 hours of your life. Oh. Sure, do it. Go for it. Oh, well, that's...
I'm wrapped with 3 hours.
Just basing it off Avenger, like Infinity War, which I'm basing it off that simply because of the sheer number of characters. The way that they handled and balanced all of the characters and all of their storylines and the main storyline was riveting, and I cannot see how they would mess that up now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't...
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to land.
Exactly.
It's going to land.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
All right, I'm going to get through some trailers pretty darn quick. I saw the trailer for Happy Season 2, which hits in just a couple of weeks.
And?
It looks potentially more twisted than the first season. The first
season...
How
does that even happen?
I don't know. First season was all about Christmas and dealing with an evil, really evil Santa. This one's all about Easter and like... commoditizing Easter further and trying to move all the focus away from religion and stuff. And yeah, it looks awful.
Yeah.
He's going to do some horrible things to bad people. did you see the full trailer for Toy Story 4?
I saw that it was there and a lot of people were hyping. I also saw on Twitter a few people disliking it.
Yeah. Is that because Bo Peep's in pants?
It's so controversial.
I just thought that hey, stop messing with my childhood.
Yeah.
Remember when there were clearly demarked lines? Yeah.
Ugh. People.
People. Anyway, that looks quite good. I'm excited for that. Impractical Jokers comes back, I think maybe later this week, which you know I'm hyped for. They're coming back with what I think is season 7.5, might be season 8, but it's referred to as volume 14.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know, real easy to find. I finally saw the trailer for a TV show called Tacoma FD.
Which I've heard of this.
It's two of the guys from Broken Lizard, who are better known as the guys from Super Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two of them and a bunch of other cool, funny people that you've seen in other stuff. And they're firefighters.
TV show or movie?
TV show.
Okay.
But it looks kind of like Always Sunny-ish, or just continuing that Super Troopers thing of federally employed people constantly busting shenanigans on each other. And like they have shenanigans style set up echoing Super Troopers in this trailer.
It definitely sounds like it's got the ingredients for people to want to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's on True TV as well, which is same as Impractical Jokers. I can't remember if they're paired up or not. I'll find out later in the week.
Yeah.
We'll see. So that's going to be I'm pumped for that. The full trailer for John Wick 3, Parabellum,
mm-hmm.
finally dropped. I'm so amped for this movie.
Did you see somebody had edited the line, "We're going to need more guns," and then paired it up with "We're going to need more guns" from The Matrix?
Nice.
It's almost, he's got almost the exact rhythm.
Awesome.
It's very good.
Awesome.
I'll have to find it for you, show it to you.
But the one thing I'm most excited for, so the trailer was great, but they put out some character posters and they don't show him in the trailer at all, but Derek from Good Place, he's playing a guy called the TikTok Man, and I don't know if he's someone who's going to help John Wick, but considering who he is and he's playing someone called the TikTok Man, I hope he's a demolitions expert who's crazy and has blown up a hand already or something.
And you know the character. I can picture exactly how he's going to play this character.
Yeah, big eyes,
yeah,
screaming.
Absolutely.
A lot of jittering.
Right. So stressful.
And then finally, the trailer for season 2 of The Last OG came out, which is Tracy Morgan's show. I know I spoke about this a lot last year, but I was quite surprised it got a second season, not because of quality. It was an amazing show, but it felt kind of like they tied it up. But this trailer shows that he's growing in different ways and trying to become more of a valued member of the community.
That's good.
Excellent. However, this trailer sent me on a rabbit hole, and it's the rabbit hole I want to talk about.
Okay.
Because the beginning of the trailer, there's a funeral scene and then there's like a needle drop and then a song kicks in. And I'm like, this song, I know this song. I've heard this song so many times. So I tried Shazamming it, didn't come up.
Oh, I hate that.
Went to iTunes and I'm like, I know it's Exhibit. There was no rapping, there was no talking, but I know the beat. I'm like, it's Exhibit. I'm typing, it's not on there. So I go and do a bit of a deep dive search. And it turns out it's this song called End of the World that's part of a compilation album that Exhibit put out with Sony in 2011 of all these production stubs and songs that sound just like very popular songs for use in trailers for TV and film. So I know this song because I've heard it so many times in different trailers.
Isn't that weird?
That my brain has assumed it's a pop song that I know from
the real life.
So it's almost like cheating its way into cool.
Has somebody on the internet machine, like, I don't know, BuzzFeed or something, done an article, an investigation, and come up with the list of every trailer that's been in?
I haven't found people talking about the usage. I did find people talking about when it first got put out because they put out all the stubs for a lot of public use. So, as I said, I've heard this thing pop up so many times. I don't know if it's completely royalty and license free or whether it's you license the album and then you can use those 20 or 40 songs as you choose. I'm not sure either way how it works, but I'm really intrigued and I want to find out more. I want to find out how cheap it is to get this thing because this song, like, there are a few of the songs that are up on iTunes. You can go and listen to it now. They're all sound alikes. Well, it's not that they're not quite right. It's that they're too right.
Mm.
It's they're overproduced. They're super duper polished.
Mm.
So it does sound like they are Usher offcuts, or someone has thrown these to the side, when in fact they were written for this exact purpose, to sound like an emotion that other songs give you. It's very, very clever, very,
so
very interesting.
Specific, yeah. Isn't it?
So as I say, it was a weird rabbit hole to go down. I still haven't been able to track down a version of this song that I can take out with me to listen to. I've only found stubs and stuff like that that I had to listen to on desktop.
And that doesn't do it.
Well, I want to have it on my phone so I can pump it in my car.
Yeah. Huh.
It's this gospel-y sounding song, big piano and Exhibit being happy and singing over the top. Well, hardly even singing, more just like monotonously talking, like a mumble rapper.
So there's definite, there's 100% other people would have heard this song well and just been like, what?
Oh, yeah, and like this, Sony, when they were doing this project, brought in a lot of big names. I think Junkie XL is involved.
Oh, really?
And he's the guy that did all the music for the Deadpool movies and stuff. So there's like real name artists that put out music on Sony got roped in to come and do this project with some of their engineers and made some legit bangers.
But only sections of it.
Yeah. And they're still full songs, so you could use the whole song if you want.
Okay.
But these are ones that they could have put out commercially and they'd have been cheesy and not made, you know, not gone to number one, but made some money off. But instead they've made money another way by, I know they're exclusively for the use of broadcast media.
That is a whole part of the music industry that not many people know about.
No. I did some investigation and I've learned some things and I feel like I could come here, report and share.
I liked it. Anything else?
No, that'll do. You've had your full.
Yeah, sure have.
They're the ones who knock. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Now, speaking of music, I decided that I wanted to check out the Motley Crue movie.
Dirt. Yeah. How was it? Dirty?
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you like this. You're 16, 17 years old. You kind of didn't want to go to school that day, so you pretended to be sick.
Yep.
Your parents left you at home because they had to go to work, so you've got the house to yourself. And it gets to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're a little bit bored.
Yeah.
So you turn the television on and there's a daytime movie.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Oh, it's that quality.
That's what it feels like. Yeah.
See, that whole setup there, I thought we were going into Ferris Bueller. I thought your principal was going to be scratching at the back door.
It was trying to be lighthearted, sort of talking to camera, but it would, like the narration was talking to camera. If you understand what I mean. So I did enjoy seeing Ramsay Bolton though.
Sure, who was he portraying?
He was what's his name? The older one, the shorter, older guy who was playing the lead guitar. I can't remember their names. Not Nikki Six, not Pamela Anderson,
Tommy Lee.
Yeah. Tommy Lee, who was with Heather Locklear at the time.
Sure.
He's just the other one that you forget about. But I didn't know that much about Motley Crue, except I knew their name, I knew Tommy Lee, and I knew that one of them had a name that ended with six.
Hmm.
And apart from that, I didn't even realize I knew as many of their songs that I did.
They got some straight up jams.
They really do.
Yeah, I'm not that interested in that movie except for one part. Does it cover after they've split up in the mid late 90s? And then Tommy Lee goes off and forms his own band called Methods of Mayhem. They put out a song called Get Naked.
I remember that.
Get Naked.
I remember that. Yes, they do go to that part, but they don't go into that detail.
Ah,
I know.
That's a shame, because that was when he was dealing with the porn video fallout.
Yeah.
And then he put out this album of very provocative stuff. For my money, the second Methods of Mayhem album, which didn't come out until like 2012 or something, and they took 13 years in between or something. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
There's some good songs on there. He roped in some good friends.
I think he's quite a happy guy.
I think so too.
Yeah.
He seems quite
well
adjusted.
That's how he was portrayed in the movie, and that's just the general vibe I've gotten from him over the years.
I would agree with that.
Happy bloke.
Yeah, he seems happy to be involved.
That's right. What did you watch?
I got to watch the first episode of Mental Samurai.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
come
I've been excited about it for a while.
And you hyped me up.
It's like, pretty good.
Just give us a quick synopsis in case somebody missed it when you spoke about it before.
Okay. Game show, Rob Lowe hosts. He stands on a platform high in the air. Contestants, one at a time, get strapped into this weird robotic arm and pulled up into the air to be eye level with him. The arm is called Eva. He has a bit of a chat with them, and then they have to answer 12 questions while this robotic arm moves around to four different towers of four different categories of question. And they start off pretty easy and then get more difficult, but they're kind of, some of them are like, watch this pattern. Where was this in the pattern?
Oh, right.
So it's stuff that you've actually...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not general knowledge.
It's memory.
Yeah.
And like getting your subconscious or unconscious to connect with your consciousness.
Yeah, and you've got to pay attention every time because they might put up three options and sometimes it might say go from lowest to highest and other times it will say from highest to lowest.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's every element of the question you've got to pay attention
to. How did you go?
All right.
Yeah?
But I wasn't strapped into a gigantic robotic arm in front of a crowd being thrown around like I'm in orbit.
That's a good point.
There's a guy on that was an astronaut who'd spent a lot of time in space, failed on the first question. Yeah.
Just couldn't handle it.
Couldn't handle it. There was a drag queen who went on very far. I won't say how far because you might want to watch. But,
yeah.
It would appear that winners or people that do particularly well come back for a final episode later.
Oh, fun.
Ninja Warrior style.
Yeah, I like that. I like that premise.
But yeah, there were a few people that I thought were going to go really well and go far and did not. And there were some people that I thought were just giggling dopes who actually seemed to pull it together in the moment really well.
And what was Rob Lowe like as a host?
Charming.
Of course he was. Oh, yeah.
So charming.
Yeah.
And it was funny because he'd had a little bit of an introduction with each person and then they'd have their turn and fail. And then he'd talk to each single one of them like he was their best friend. And as they were going, he'd be like, thanks for coming on, Jolene. I appreciate you.
Aw, what a gentleman.
The I appreciate you thing is such an American thing.
Oh, Australians would not say that.
What the hell is that? I don't appreciate... Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for coming
cheers.
On. Thanks for coming on. That was great.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. I have noticed sometimes you'll get American Twitch streamers, if someone subscribes, they go, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Dude on American Pickers, Mike...
Oh, yeah.
Every time, handshake. $200, we got a deal, handshake. Thanks, partner, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. By the end of an episode, I'm like, damn it, Mike, I know you appreciate him.
It sounds very much like a transaction thing.
Yeah.
You've given me money and I appreciate that.
That's it. Anyway, so Mental Samurai, good bit of fun. It is background noise, mm-hmm. Not something you need to be watching closely.
So you can play Candy Crush whilst...
Yeah, watching. I was painting while I was cool. Watching, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soothing.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, I decided to try that Idris Elba show out.
Luther?
No, I've tried that. That's awesome. This one's totally different. It's Turn Up Charlie.
Turn Up Charlie?
Yeah, and he co-created it.
Okay.
And he's sort of
Is this the DJ one?
Yeah, washed up DJ.
Ah,
it's not bad. It's a bit of fun.
I nearly went and saw Idris DJ like 3 years ago because he DJs all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was here in Sydney. He was in town for something. I didn't care.
Yeah, okay.
It's one of those things like, do you want to go and see an actor DJ?
Can't be bothered.
On a Wednesday night?
No, I don't want to do anything like that on a Wednesday night, thank you.
How did he do? Did he twiddle the knobs and press the buttons?
He twiddled the knobs, pressed all the buttons.
Wait for it. Tell me, this is important because I won't sleep unless I know.
Okay.
Did he drop the bass?
Bass was dropped.
Oh, thank goodness.
There was I'm trying to think which episode. It was in the first couple. There was a Craig David cameo.
Oh.
Quite fun.
What day of the week?
Yeah, I know, right? There's a precocious kid in it that he sort of winds up taking care of. And I'd say that this is probably one of the problems that I had with it in that she, for me, balances a fine line of being precocious and annoying. And you can't... There are moments where you're like, ah, oh, that was really good. And there are other moments you're just like, oh, I find you a bit annoying now.
Jerry Maguire kid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you teeter between both. Yeah, but because I know Idris Elba so well from Luther, it's just great to see him in a different role where he isn't having all of the problems.
A lot of tight shirts.
Actually, he wore a salmon-coloured hoodie.
Oh, you know I'm in for that.
Yeah.
Bit of pink hoodie.
You should ask him where he got it from because I think it'd look good on you.
I'll hit him up on, I don't have him.
Insta? I don't know. Yeah. But
close personal friend of the show, though.
That, absolutely. Indubitably. He was charming, and it's kind of the show that you would do a bit of painting, do a bit of candy crushing whilst watching. It doesn't require all your attention.
Sure.
Not like Luther. Luther, you need to sit there and watch it.
Well, how else are you going to know who done it?
Exactly. Anything else?
I finally watched Vice.
Ah!
I've been excited for this for so long. I finally hit iTunes. I snapped it up.
Look, I heard great things about this.
I can't say it was a lot of fun.
No.
Because in the same way, have you seen The Big Short?
I haven't seen The Big Short, but I know what it's about.
This weirdly, it's not a sequel, but it's definitely the same director, the same mold. It feels like a continuation of that sort of horrifying close-up look of how we got to where we are today.
Mm.
So The Big Short was all about how the JFC happened and how some people knew that was happening and coming and watched it happen last time and are ready for it to happen again now.
And you're like, oof, okay.
Well, Vice is all about how one kind of small man found some legal loopholes around exact usage of wording in the executive branch to discover that the vice president kind of exists outside of a lawful zone, because he would argue that whatever the president did was legal because of the nature of the fact that he's the president. And anyone in the House answers to the House, anyone in the Senate answers to the Senate. The president doesn't answer to either. And he argued that the vice president doesn't as well.
Right.
And it's kind of like how he played all this really long-term strategy checkers. You know, everyone kind of thought that he was pulling the strings of George W. Bush, and this shows that he wasn't pulling the strings. He just had his hand up his ass working like a puppet.
Yeah, right.
There was stuff that George W. was good at and being the front man and was not interested in nitty gritty or details and dealing with that, and was happy to hand over security concerns or the military or the actual powerful stuff to Dick Cheney. Christian Bale is amazing.
And what about
Amy
Sam?
We'll get to Sam Rockwell in a moment.
Okay.
But Amy Adams and Christian Bale are the two leads, and they play them at various stages in their life between, say, young 20s and late 70s.
That's impressive.
It is. And there was a point where I found myself stopped, like I didn't see Christian Bale in it anymore. And normally in those sorts of things, you still get a hint of them somewhere. Maybe it's a flash of a glint of a teeth or something, and you're reminded.
Yeah.
He was lost in there.
That's phenomenal.
He put on so much damn weight.
Yeah. I remember seeing photographs when he was filming and I'm like, ooh. And because of who he is, your immediate reaction is, ooh, what film's he making?
Yep. And it's great because I watched a featurette afterwards of him talking about it. He's back to normal.
Yeah, he is.
So quickly back.
And don't you find Amy Adams is just such a reliable actress?
Yeah.
Like if she's in something, you know she's going to be solid.
I felt there was some definite shades of her Lois Lane in this, of a woman that takes no shit.
Yeah, right.
Because, as I say, she's the dual lead in that she's the one that put the fire underneath him, and she's the one that kicks him up the ass all the time and tells him, you chase that power, you know. I'm trying to think of the right Shakespearean setup, but it is the film.
She's a little Lady Macbeth, you reckon?
Yes. Okay. The film makes a lot of jokes throughout of how Shakespearean this story was, to the point where one scene becomes Shakespeare.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they talk in proper sonnets. It's very cool. Alfred Molina pops up in a wonderful little cameo as a waiter, explaining the way they redefined these terms of you know, it wasn't torture, it was advanced interrogation.
It's all in the wording, remember? All in the wording. Now, you were going to quickly mention how
Sam Rockwell, boy, kills it.
I mean, even in the short, you know, that one scene where he's eating the chicken wings, you're like, yeah, that's right. You're like, man, He's got it.
So as I said,
it's in the eyes. Like, it's that bit.
He furrows his brow.
Yeah, just like between the eyes and the nose. It's all there.
And he looks like he's about to break into that George W. Bush.
Yep, yep.
But he's even got like little twitches of the leg and just these tiny little mannerisms that Bush was caught on video doing. He's captured all that sort of stuff. So Bale isn't doing an impression of Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like embodying that and stuff, whereas Sam Rockwell is just doing a great George W. impression.
Phenomenal.
And it works. The secret weapon of the film is Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld. Ooh, he gets some great lines.
Really?
Yes, very inappropriate. If you enjoyed In the Loop or Veep, that style show very, very offensive politics, he's a character from that universe that's wandered into this movie.
He somehow accidentally made his way there.
Yeah, and just offends everyone left, right and centre. It's great.
Amazing.
If you do enjoy checking this out, I would, or even if you saw this in cinema, I would say pick up the home release version because it comes with the featurettes. One of the deleted scenes was a musical that they just couldn't work for, like they couldn't leave into the film for pacing reasons, but it's a full musical done, like a 4.5 minute song explaining the power structures of Washington.
Wow. And
how to backstab your way to the top. It's like if Littlefinger had a musical.
Yeah, right.
It's great.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, speaking of Littlefinger, I was all set this week to watch, I know the SBS, I'd seen them advertising on a social media page, I can't remember where, the Project Blue Book.
Mm.
I was like, that's Littlefinger. And I watched the trailer and it looked really cool. I thought, yeah, I'm behind this. It comes out, well, by the time this episode is released, it's out on Thursday.
Nice.
And so is it out, and Project Blue Book's out on Thursday as well. So I've got to got to wait till then to watch it.
Is it full season or what episode at a time?
Looks like it's coming out the same time on television as it is on SBS On Demand. So I assume they're probably going to do one episode at a time if they're making a deal of it being on television as well. So I'm going to I'm at least going to watch the first episode.
You'll enjoy it. I did. It's good.
Really good?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll watch it then.
Full disclosure, I didn't watch all of it because there was too much on, but I still have it saved on my iPad to get to
when,
if ever, things settle down.
Things never settle down. It just doesn't, it's not a thing. I'll watch it on your behalf if you like. That's it for my watching. What about you?
We don't need to go in depth, but Jim Jefferies came back for season 3 this week, which
thumbs
is
up.
Great. Yeah, angry Aussie who's now an American citizen.
I didn't know that.
They did a full episode about him getting his citizenship.
Huh.
But they've been off for a while now, so it was great to see them back. And he wasted no time talking about what happened in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, fair
enough. Dove in hard on that. And then white nationalists here in Australia and this sort of stuff.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Good take.
Yes.
Cool.
He's still very angry.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Stands to reason, doesn't it?
It does.
So we were talking earlier about crossovers, and I thought with our quiz, why don't we have a look at shows that have had crossovers? Now, full disclosure, Tom, I didn't go into Arrowverse.
That doesn't,
because that's it's
too complicated.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that.
Fair enough, that's the point of those shows.
Exactly, fans expect that to happen. So we're going to go into a few other ones. A lot of them are older, actually. I didn't intentionally do it. It must have just been of the time. We'll kick it off with The Simpsons and another animated program.
South Park.
Oh.
No, they crossed, sorry. Simpsons crossed over with Family Guy. And Family Guy crossed over with Simpsons, but South Park did an episode without permission about the two of them.
Good on them.
Okay.
You got to love South Park. Yeah, Family Guy, that was the one I was looking for.
Didn't watch that one. Missed that for some
reason.
I
did, and I have no recollection of it. I watched it.
Have we talked about the fact that I hate Seth MacFarlane?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
If any listener, if you like Family Guy and you still watch, you're wrong. The guy that makes that show has wanted to kill it for years. Let him go. He doesn't want to do that anymore. Just let him stop being Peter Griffin.
Doesn't he want to be in the Star Trek show?
Yeah, Orville. And that, and he does, like, he's fantastic in Sing. He has an album of swing music that's great. A couple of albums, actually.
Good singer.
That stuff's great. I just don't enjoy Family Guy.
Is it the voice?
It's the voice and the attitude of the tone.
Yeah, fair enough.
The show, it's also shitting on everything.
Gosh, I remember watching that. That would be early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Was it on when I might have been on when I was still at school?
It's been around for a very long time.
Very long time.
What about Happy Days? I'll give you a clue. There are a couple of shows that does crossovers with because they all live in the same universe.
I want to say Mork and Mindy.
Yep.
I want to say Laverne and Shirley.
That's it.
That's it.
They're the two. Because
so I was going to say like Harry and the Hendersons or something.
Well, I don't think it was Joni Loves Chachi, because I think that show may have started after
that
Happy Days.
That was the spin-off
finished.
That came afterwards, yeah.
So it wouldn't have happened. What about Mad About You?
Mad About You.
Because Mad About You lives in the same universe as another show from New York, simply because there's...
Ned and Stacey?
No, there's a character who is in both. Well, there's an actress who is in both.
Caroline in the City?
Oh, my gosh, I love that show.
Spin City?
I forgot about that. No, Friends. So Phoebe
has
a twin sister.
Yes.
I think her name's Ursula.
Yes.
Ursula is the polar opposite of Phoebe.
Oh, I remember Ursula.
And was the waitress at the cafe in Mad About You.
Well, there you go.
Mm.
Huh.
And then
we should do a Caroline in the City special.
We should.
Because I just want to talk about that. You know, I got the box set of that.
No.
Yeah, found it for $9 at Kmart.
That's a bargain.
I don't know if it was worth it.
What about Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
That crossover with The New Girl.
Yeah, that one I didn't watch. I don't remember.
They put zero effort into it. He's being a cop on the corner and she pulls up in the car and asks for directions and then he gives them to her and then she leaves.
No wonder people didn't think it was that great.
Yeah, it was just...
We need to do something.
I was obviously handed down to them from above.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like decision.
It. They phoned that one in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the day, old school Magnum P.I. crossed with a show.
18? No. Magnum.
It's a show that was around for years.
MASH.
She was a writer.
Murder, She Wrote.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
two
yeah.
Private dicks on the case.
What a show. I would watch that.
Wow, Lansbury and Selleck.
Yeah.
The sexual tension.
It was out of control. Oh. They said one episode and that's it.
Oh.
The TV classification board were going insane. It's too much.
Listeners, I'm actually biting my lip at the thought of how saucy that would have been.
Now, this one, until I read about it, had completely forgotten this existed.
Mm.
And I love it for so many reasons. X-Files and... I'll give you a clue. The show is a documentary-style show. It's not... There's no scripted part to it whatsoever. The program that it crossed over with has been around. I'm pretty sure it's still on. And
Antiques Roadshow.
It's similar to that. Think Reno 911, but real.
Oh, it's Cops. I know.
X-Files and Cops. I'd forgotten.
No, I remember that.
At the time, it was a great episode. Huge. Yeah.
See, I was going to say Lone Gunman, but then I remembered that spin-off as well.
Yeah.
It was Millennium a spin-off too? I can't remember if Lance Hendrickson's character was the same. I don't think it... maybe... Because it's Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Listeners, set us straight.
Yeah. Watchers podcast at gmail.com.
Well done.
That was good.
I like that. That was good quiz.
That was good fun. And a nice sort of freshen up before we get into the seriousness that is The Walking Dead, second last episode of the season.
Mm.
If you haven't watched it and you plan to, probably best to turn this podcast off. If you've watched it, listen. If you don't care about any sort of walkers, but you want to continue listening, dare you.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
Wow. Okay, so we knew that something big was happening.
Yep.
The fair. You knew what had happened to people in the fair in the comic books.
Mm.
And the same thing happened to people in the TV show, but they were different people.
They were different people. So there's still a swerve. There's still some surprise in there for me.
Which is nice. I think that's good. I kind of... Okay, so in the comic, the big shock, I think, was that King Ezekiel was...
Yeah, and Rosita.
They had their heads on the stakes.
Correct.
What I like about where the show's gone now is that you now have Carol and Ezekiel ready to full out revenge mode.
Yes.
Instead of Carol and Henry, where Henry was always going off and doing his own thing anyway. I like the fact that now you've got these two and it's going to, however, whatever they do is going to be amazing.
Well, you think in this episode, they all signed an agreement that if one goes to war, they all go to war. Hilltop, we were discussing this earlier, apart from the blacksmith and the singing boyfriend who used to be a savior, we don't think we know anyone at Hilltop now.
No.
They're all gone.
When Maggie comes back, if she comes back, she'll be like, hello? Why don't I recognize anyone's faces around
pretty
here?
Pretty sure I left my kid here, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so many questions about Hilltop. We didn't get any answers to.
No.
Speaking of kids, though, is the Whisperer's baby still around?
So I'm pretty sure Blacksmith was still holding it.
Okay.
When he was looking for his wife that had been taken. Because they cut to that scene at the fair of a few people looking for people. They definitely made it seem like Eugene was looking for Rosita, which made me doubly nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a bit of a theory with that they may have set things up slightly for the mute lady, because twice in the episode, one, you mentioned about the look after my dog.
Yeah.
And you said love interest.
Yeah, it's love interest.
I like the idea of that. But I also see that conversation she had with her sister about having the feelings brought back by seeing that baby in danger.
Yeah,
makes
right.
me think that this has happened to her before and she could sub in as a surrogate mother very nicely.
Now, we've also been getting, not a few, but we've gotten some flashbacks from characters. Will we get one from her
now that she's planted
that? I feel like they're setting her up for... See, the Walking Dead, it's been around long enough for you to know that there are different ways they set characters up. They set characters up so that you get almost attached to them, and then they kill them and you're like, oh, well. And then there are others that they set them up because they want to go forward with this character.
Yeah, and they recognise the long-term potential.
And this is a long-term potential character.
They got introduced in the comic in that way. Okay. Some of them caught on, some of them didn't. They're not the exact same setup as what we had in the comic and stuff, but yeah, they are very much the new lifeblood. With so many people moving on and then doing a rather large cast culling last night, they have to find a few new potential characters that they can hang storylines on, not just Rosita style, hey, I'm having a baby with three dads.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Before we started recording, you said they're doing three men, the little baby.
Well, I still think that baby might come out and Rosita might die, either in childbirth or some attack not long after, so that the three guys have to raise the baby.
There is a definite Rosita setup going on. Why is that story existing?
Can you imagine how screwed up a kid would be if it was raised by Eugene, Father Gabriel, and Sadiq?
Is it just me or do you still find Father Gabriel creepy?
There was a shot, right?
When Yes.
So there was a long shot of her going to sit down, which was like, oh, she's acting the stage directions. And then he did this creepy long stare that was like...
Why did they hold on to that stare for so long?
That stare was like, I'm going to sniff your underpants. Yeah. When you go to bed tonight, I'm going to come in there with my bad eye. I'm going to sniff your panties, girl.
And it's not just the bad eye. It's not just the bad eye that's making him creepy, because he's had that creepiness about him since before.
Yeah, he's always been creepy. Creepy priest.
So happy for Jerry.
Me too.
He's still there. I was legitimately worried.
So was I.
They've
done so much with, look at my kids, look how happy I am. Hey, Jerry, we changed it.
Huh?
Could you imagine if the last thing Jerry did was announce the fair incorrectly?
I was legitimately worried for him when they were in the movie theatre.
I thought his wife was going to get it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what about Lydia? I felt the raw fear in her body.
The sit down.
When her mum sat next to her wearing a Mia Farrow wig.
How long did it take for you to cotton on that was her at the fair?
Oh, not long.
Okay, because I've read some people online that it wasn't until they started walking around with her.
Oh, no. I mean, okay, so the reason why I thought there was something different she was going to do is when she cut the woman's hair at the scalp, because, I mean, that obviously wasn't going to be for a mask. So I knew there was something to do with the hair that was going to happen.
Did you notice that when... the small group that was outside, when they had all of the Whisperers come up around them, the first one that walked out slowly was wearing the full head of the guy from the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, and didn't he look like it it wasn't sitting well.
No, it was just like out of it was super creepy. Oh.
It was in like in a great way. Yeah. I think they did a fantastic job with that. Really good. Now let's have a quick chat about the reactions of the people who saw the heads on the pole, because I would just want to touch on the fact that we saw a lot of Michonne's reaction.
Yes,
not so much of Carol's. Now, I would have thought, because of who was there, you'd see a lot of Carol's reaction. Michonne was there for a long time. They held on her and they went back to her at least two times. Let's talk about why.
I think it's a combination of two things. One, it's directly continuing from last week's episode of her choosing to be more open and immediately getting smacked for doing so. But secondly, and this is behind the scenes stuff, we know Michonne is leaving the show next year, that she's only going to be around for a handful of episodes.
Yeah.
So I put my thinking cap on, came up with a theory.
I like it.
That when she goes, who's going to look after Judith? That creepy bastard locked under the stairs. The only person who we have seen this season have much relationship with Judith at all is Negan.
We didn't see him at all this episode.
No, and Negan's super close with Judith and he was super protective of Carl, so I could see him very much vying for that position. So I kind of feel we've got one episode less this season or a few episodes next season. We need to have an episode that is like a full flashback of Negan.
And people have been asking for it.
Well, I feel like this episode could have been the end of the season, the one we just watched.
Oh, absolutely.
So
I agree.
If they want to be ballsy, this next episode is just pure Negan flashback. It's like when Lost used to do a Desmond flashback for a whole episode of a side character that suddenly fills in a lot more of the story. They need to sympathise Negan ASAP so that he can become a proper community member, look after Judith, and be a key player once Michonne leaves.
So Michonne leaves, Negan becomes a key player. If Negan is going to be surrogate parent for poor Judith and whoever Michonne's other kid is,
I
want to
say
remember.
RJ?
Archie? No, I can't remember.
It's something J. It's two initials.
AJ? No, look, DJ, I think that means Michonne had given, when they were signing the declaration of, togetherness, she's like, you sign on behalf of the Council of Alexandria. It's not about me. That to me, if we're going along with your theory, that to me indicates that now she has to talk the council into letting Negan go, or else she's got nothing to do with it and the council agrees to letting Negan out.
I think it's going to be a council decision.
Because he can't escape. If he escapes, he can't take care of Judith.
Yes. Look, there's a few things that I could see. One, with why they stayed on Michonne so much is making her realise that there are things out there much worse than Negan and that she might need to fight fire with fire. That's a really good way to motivate her to get him on board. The other way, and I feel like they've nipped this in the bud already, but in the comics, Negan does break out. None of the chat with anybody before he goes or anything like that, but he goes out there and goes straight for the Whisperers, and it's after this has happened.
Does he know about the Whisperers at the moment?
On
the
show?
I don't think he
does.
Don't
think so. I don't know. But in the comics, when he finds out about the heads, he goes straight out to them and like pitches in and wants to join and stays for long enough that he has a go at trying to decapitate Alpha.
Wow.
Because his intention was kill her, come back with the head. And show everyone, see how much I'm on your team.
Can I be in the group now?
Can I be part of your gang again? So I feel like there has to be some sort of grand gesture.
Yeah.
What that will be, I don't know. I think you can imagine him and Beta do not see eye to eye.
Ooh, no.
Did you see that quick look from Daryl when he saw Beta for the first time? Like,
yes.
Fuck, he's not dead.
What the hell?
How are you not dead at the bottom
of
an
elevator? You fell down an elevator shaft. Does this guy never die?
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. And Negan has been very much underutilized this season, but for reasons. You've got to break him down to build him back up again.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So I think we need to see him in a sympathetic light. I think it's interesting that most of the heads up there were Hilltop related. It does make it seem very much more retaliation.
Yeah.
Again, from the comic, it was much more random. They just grabbed who they grabbed, and Ezekiel was a lucky win of getting a leader. This time they've still gotten the leader in Tara, but Tara hasn't done anything in a long time.
Oh, she looks worried a bit.
Guys.
Guys, but I'm worried.
Hey, I'm going to wear funky glasses and look things at the distance again, okay?
All right.
She loved a bit of lookout.
She was looking out this episode as well, wasn't she? Yeah.
Yeah,
she did a lookout at the beginning.
Loves a bit of a lookout. So her gone, Enid JSS. Enid gone. Didn't JSS that. And Henry, who they'd done put a lot of work into making us give a shit, and then killed the youth potential again.
They've got...
What children do they have to pull from now, apart from Judith and RJ and this tiny baby?
Aaron's kid.
Oh, yeah. And one dickhead teen.
Yeah, only one.
He's going to have a rough guy.
He's got no more friends, guys.
Now he just has to go and drink in that zombie pit by himself with a zombie.
All by himself. Yeah, so that's it. Walkers. Whoo. Walkers on heads. I mean, heads on stakes, still walking and talking.
I'm surprised that it has been out nearly 24 hours at this point and I still haven't seen a single photo of someone photoshopping in Ned Stark.
Oh, my gosh.
It feels like low-hanging fruit. Like
it
that's
really
right
is.
Right there dangling. Maybe we should do that and put that out.
It's too obvious for us not to,
it's
right?
It's pretty simple.
On that Ned Stark note, I reckon we've done everything we need to do this week.
Good-o.
Righty-o. Tom, thank you.
Snip.